When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Tuesday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. And what a Tuesday we have in store for you. There is so much to get to here on this Tuesday morning on TEL. A lot of it having to do with a wild and insane night in the association. The NBA draft lottery. Who is selecting first overall? The Dallas Mavericks. How? Conspiracies flying all around the NBA. And then it led to a wild game 4 inside Madison Square Garden. The New York Knicks rally once again, and a non-contact, significant-looking leg injury to Jason Tatum. A seismic shift in the Eastern Conference odds. We'll get to all of that. The Minnesota Timberwolves handle business in San Francisco. One win away from the Western Conference Finals, and DRS more playoff action on the ice in the Stanley Cup postseason. Oh, yeah, plenty of NFL marquee matchups to detail and highlight for you on schedule release week. So much to get to, DRS, over these 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern.
Absolutely. You know what I like, too? Because the Philadelphia Eagles were Super Bowl champions. The worst-case scenario for me every single season since I work on Sunday is please just don't have an Eagles game at 1 p.m. Eastern because I will miss half that game driving home. Give me as many primetime games as you can possibly give me, which is include, Ben, the Black Friday game versus the Chicago Bears at home. I love the setup so far for the Philadelphia Eagles schedule. But also, we got so many hot topics to get to today over the next 3 hours. It is going to be fun. But let me say this about the NBA draft. The NBA is a business, and they understand they're fighting an uphill battle with their regular season. And one thing I told you yesterday is, was I rooting for my Philadelphia 76ers? Yeah, damn right I was. They got the third pick, got to keep it. They'll get a good basketball player. But if you don't understand how business works, where they have the Dallas Mavericks, who are ready to win now with Cooper Flagg, one of the most exciting teams in the NBA, got the number two overall pick, the Spurs here, and then the Philadelphia 76ers with a playoff roster and going to add a top three talent. That's good business. You know what wasn't good business? Wasting picks for the teams like Charlotte out there, for the Utah Jazz. The NBA understood the assignment and aced it, pun intended, for the Philadelphia 76ers and everybody else.
It seems as though, DRS, in the updated draft lottery system where finishing with the worst record does not guarantee you the lone best chance to get that first overall pick, tanking might not have that great of a reward any longer. But let's get to the big NBA playoff action, a doubleheader of game fours on a Monday evening. We start, of course, in Madison Square Garden, where after a 22-point win in game number three for the reigning champs in the Boston Celtics, it seemed as though the C's had gotten their control back in this second round set against the New York Knicks. And then Boston led by 11 at the end of the first quarter, and then Boston led by 11 at the end of the opening half, and then Boston opened up a 14-point lead early in the third quarter, only for the Knicks to rally again. New York comes all the way back, even taking a lead into the fourth quarter to knock off the Celtics 121-113. The Knicks win outright as a 6.5-point home underdog inside the world's most famous arena, and that place was absolutely bumping. DRS, your reaction in just a moment, but of course you can't tell the story of Game 4 last night with also highlighting a key and significant injury with just shy of 3 minutes remaining in regulation. The Knicks had already built a 7-point advantage, but Jason Tatum, going after a loose ball, suffers a significant-looking non-contact injury. He is set for an MRI on this Tuesday. The Celtics did not reveal any more information about his injury status, DRS, but it does not look good for Jason Tatum.
It's hard to win a championship. Celtics got it done last year. You got to stay healthy. If your best player is going to go down, you are not going to win a championship. And to win championships, sometimes you need major breaks like the New York Knicks may have gotten last night. Now, credit the New York Knicks. They played really well against the grain for the first couple games where it's like, we get down 20 points, then have to storm the fort. No, they actually got down and then stormed the fort and took it the opposite direction here and held serve in the fourth quarter, which was great to see. I didn't expect it. I said yesterday, Ben, give me 35% shooting from three-point range for the Celtics. There's no way they can lose that game. They shot 37% and they lost that game. Did you watch the Knicks night? Like the one-on-one games yesterday between Jalen Brunson, Mikal Bridges, Karl-Anthony Towns, in every situation they needed a hoop, they made unbelievable shot after creativity all over the place here. Loved what I saw from the Knicks last night. Getting the breaks now, up 3-1. This should be their series.
The Garden living up to the billing as the world's most famous arena last night, and it was absolutely rocking. 39 points out of Jalen Brunson, a masterful performance before the injury for Jason Tatum, 42 points. Again, we will update his status and what that MRI reveals, but just simply, it does not seem as though he will return in this playoff series. The New York Knicks now take a commanding 3-1 series advantage as they head to Boston tomorrow night for game number 5. 1 win away, DRS, from their first berth in the Eastern Conference Finals since the year 2002 and a half decades ago. The Minnesota Timberwolves also opening a 3-1 series lead with a big win last night in San Francisco. Frankly, the Warriors without Steph Curry doing all that they can. They had a lead at the end of the first quarter, a lead heading in to the halftime locker room. But when Minnesota took an advantage in the third, they ran away with the game. They win by 7, but frankly, for most of the second half, it was not nearly that competitive. The Timberwolves, 117-110 last night, DRS, by the Bay, covering as a 5-point road favorite.
I mean, you're going to go on the road and shoot 47% from three-point range. I don't care who you're playing. You're supposed to blow them out. And quite frankly, the Golden State Warriors only losing by 7 is amazing with the simple fact that they shot that well from the three-point line. But you look at that third quarter, which typically the Golden State Warriors, one of the best third-quarter teams in the NBA with their adjustments at halftime, couldn't be able to live up. They just don't have enough firepower. Made a little bit of a comeback there in the fourth quarter, but it was too little, too late. They're just not going to be able to win without Steph. That's apparent. We've been saying that all along, and this is going to be a 5-game series.
Yeah, the T-Wolves head back to Minnesota. 11.5-point favorite in game number 5 tomorrow night in the Twin Cities to advance to their second consecutive Western Conference Finals appearance. All right, the stunner that started the night in the association with just a 1.8% chance. The Dallas Mavericks, after dealing Luka Doncic in potentially the worst trade in NBA history in early February, get the number 1 overall pick in the NBA draft. And that means Cooper Flagg is a Dallas Maverick.
You know what the best part about this is? Is like, we talk about this could be the worst trade in the NBA history. is it actually the best trade in the NBA history? Not for the Lakers, but for the Dallas Mavericks. Like, if Luka Doncic goes on to never win a championship, let's just say in Los Angeles, and Cooper Flagg ends up getting a championship in Dallas, we're going to have to rewrite history that this was a genius move that sort of worked out on the back end. It's wild to see the Dallas Mavericks fans, who are completely out on their franchise, now realizing they get Cooper Flagg to go along with a healthy lineup if it's there. Look, I don't know what to think about it. It's crazy that Dallas got it, but the fact that they did get the number one overall pick, now you look and go like, yeah, we traded Luka for the number one overall pick. A lot of franchises probably would do that. It's amazing.
All right, we fly through the rest of 7-7. The Canes crazy. And the Oilers take commanding 3-1 series leads, DRS, in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, nobody cares. Keep going. Let's go. What else we got?
All right. The Redbirds have won their 9th consecutive game.
Nobody cares.
Beating Donnie
nobody
Philadelphia
cares
Phillies.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, now, come on. St. Louis going to go over the win total, though. Bad for me. Trey Hendrickson saying negotiations with the Bengals have stopped because of Cincy's front office. Plenty more on the early line up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered, like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches, but there aren't, right?
Right, because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
A truly wild night in the NBA. First with the NBA draft lottery. We'll react to all of that in just a little bit. Then inside Madison Square Garden, another dramatic comeback for the New York Knicks and a nightcap in San Francisco. A ton of NBA playoff reaction and takeaways here in this opening hour. DRS, of course, we start with game number 4 inside the world's most famous arena. The atmosphere entering game 3 on a Saturday afternoon in New York City, electric. The buzz, palpable. But the result for the New York Knicks, devastating. Losing by 22 to the reigning NBA champs of the Boston Celtics, who had opened up at least a 20-point lead in all 3 of the first games in this second-round series. It had seemed, after the Celtics won Game 3 by 22 points, Boston had taken command back in this second-round set. The New York Knicks had other ideas in game number 4, rallying once again dramatically in the second half, down by as many as 14 early in the third quarter. The Knicks win to take a commanding 3-1 series advantage of their own, 121-113. Closing line on FanDuel, 5.5 in favor of the C's. The Knicks win outright once again as a home underdog inside Madison Square Garden. A total of 208.5 skies over. 4 players for New York scoring at least 20 points, including 39 out of Jalen Brunson. Again, DRS, there will be a cloud that hangs over this result in game 4 in the second round series overall due to the significant leg injury that Jason Tatum suffered with about 3 minutes remaining in regulation. but let's call it what it was. The New York Knicks rally to take command back in this series happened well before that injury to Jason Tatum.
It certainly did. And also, you had a worst-case scenario opening this game up for the New York Knicks. Like, they can't shoot that well from three-point range. Talk about the Celtics again, can they? You have about 39 points in the first quarter, and they were raining three-point shots. You heard the guard and, like, that energy sort of died down. Like, they're going to do this to us again. Every wide-open three-point shot that Derek White was knocking down early in Jason Tatum, you saw that crowd, the moans and the groans. Like, they can't be doing this again. But credit the New York Knicks, a 37-23 third quarter here. The Garden was jumping again, and they seized control. And you're right about it. This wasn't one of those games where Tatum had 32 points at the break and got injured in the first minute of the second half. What do you want us to do? He played all the way through that third quarter, which the Celtics lost by 14 points, and the Knicks seized control finally in the fourth quarter. That was a great victory. And it seems like the MO is like the Celtics run out to a lead and then the Knicks try to chase them down. It's wild how you put like the plus minus of like the minutes on who was leading in the series and find your way to a Knicks 3-1 series lead. But as we talked about also opening up the telecast, you're saying, hey, look at this. You know, now we have a chance to win this without the other team's best player, as we'll probably get news back on that today. But they're up 3-1 basically with Tatum playing the entire series. What a massive boon for the Knicks, who now go back to the TD Garden in Boston. You have a game to play with here before you get back to the Garden, and you have three chances to knock out the defending champions here and move on to the Eastern Conference Finals.
And we'll talk about all of that, DRS, because you are spot on about what this means for Jason Tatum, what it means for Boston, the remainder of this second round series in their title defense, trying to win championship number 19, favored to do so for a large majority of this 2024-25 NBA season. And if that significant leg injury for Jason Tatum, the non-contact injury with just shy of 3 minutes remaining in regulation, is as serious as it looks on the floor of Madison Square Garden last night, what it means for the Celtics and Tatum next year and beyond. All of that is very fair. All of that hangs over the atmosphere of this series. What it does not hang over and what it does not change is the stunning lack of resilience, the stunning lack of care the reigning NBA champs have when they build up a huge, huge lead against the New York Knicks, leading by 20 points in the third quarter, in each of the first two games inside TD Garden, to squander both of those chances, to finally show that resolve in game three, to only have it zapped away from them once again in game four. I have never seen anything like it, DRS. And this was not a Boston team with a few of these players 6 years ago that won an NBA championship. This was an identical Boston Celtics team that won an NBA championship last year. But this postseason seems as though they have forgotten their powers. I do not understand it. You talked about the three-point shooting, and the volume is always going to be there. So when you hoist 48 triples and you make 18, that's still not bad. But when you start off in the opening half, opening up an 11-point lead at the break, when you are 12 of 24 from three, but then when things get a little bit dicey in the final two quarters and you still rely on the three ball and you only make 6 of 24, I do not understand the philosophy. And it's not like this type of play did not work for the Celtics. They won a championship last year. This year, all I can do is scratch my head.
Yeah, it's not as if like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are spot-up three-point shooters like a bunch of J.J. Reddicks out there. Like, hey, just if the threes aren't going down, what do you want us to do? Like, they can get to the rim, get fouled, and certainly get to the free throw line, which they weren't doing. But understand this, too. Like, Tatum is a big-game player. 42 points yesterday before the injury. He was sensational throughout that game. Jaylen Brown has to be better, 7 of 16, but you'll take that 20 points. And then Derek White with 23 points with a bunch of three-point shots. That's what he does. Fits perfectly like a glove. But you got to understand something, too. You get 38 minutes out of Al Horford. He shot two times for 5 points and a minus eight. You take a look at Drew Holiday, shot five times over 34 minutes for 4 points here. But also, one of the keys that we haven't talked about a lot in this series is Kristaps Porzingis with this mysterious illness here, where he is a game changer. He plays 24 minutes, scores 7 points in that game, only shoots six times and 0 of 2 from 3-point range. That is a devastating, you know, timeline that we're looking at, where it's like, all right, I didn't feel good, started to get it back, now I'm not feeling good. They really need him immediately to step up in the absence of Jason Tatum, as we're expecting bad news to come down to today. But also, I do want to give credit to the Knicks. As you said, in that second half, every one-on-one play that they had to make with an unbelievable bucket, they got it. every which way possible. Good for the Knicks. Great win in the Garden. And they look to close out the Boston Celtics now.
And in those first two games, DRS, in Beantown, the Knicks trailed by 9. Entering the fourth quarter, they were down by 20 in the third. They were down by 20 in the third in game two. They were down by 14 in the fourth quarter and still rallied. Last night, they were so great in the comeback in the third. They had a three-point lead in the fourth and held off the Celtics. Plenty more from MSG next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24-7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The New York Knicks rally once again to take a 3-1 series lead over the Boston Celtics, our reigning NBA champs. The Knicks now just one win away from their first appearance in the Eastern Conference Finals since the year 2000, 25 years ago. And Donnie, there will be so many questions. You heard me raise my voice about the Celtics and how a reigning NBA champion who showed all of their brilliance last year in getting championship banner number 18 can squander double-digit lead after double-digit second-half lead. But you have to give a ton of appreciation and kudos and a testament to the New York Knicks. When they are trailing by double digits in the third quarter, they never get scared. And they are never afraid of the moment. That includes Jalen Brunson. A masterful performance as well with 39 points. And basically, DRS, every time in the second half that the Knicks needed a bucket, Brunson was there to deliver. OG Anunoby was there to hit a huge three. Mikal Bridges was there to hit a contested jump shot. Fantastic. Everybody delivered in the moments that mattered for the New York Knicks for a third time in four games in this series.
It was fantastic to watch. It really was. I'm not a Knicks fan, and certainly I'm not a Celtics fan, but I can enjoy great basketball when it plays out and say, boy, I hope my team can do this one day. But there is one thing about playing great team basketball at times in the NBA. Great passing makes the extra pass, knock down the three-point shot, get a wide-open layup. But the beauty of the NBA, where they separate themselves from just guys playing at LA Fitness, the ability, as you said, just to get a bucket when your team absolutely needs it. Spread everybody out. Okay, everybody get out of my way. It's one-on-one basketball. And not do the same move every time. Like, I like to knock Giannis. Like, Giannis takes the ball at the top of the key and goes, here's my one move. I'm going to run you over like a pinball out here and dunk the basketball and get to the free throw line. But Brunson used every single mode in the book, which was so phenomenal because you know how small he is compared to the rest of the players on the court, and it doesn't matter. He beat 6'10 guys, 6'3 guys, 6'2 guys, 6'5 guys in every certain way. Left hand, right hand, his short jumper, back off the backboard. He was tremendous down the stretch. I really enjoy that type of basketball where it's like, you know what? I'm going to will my team to win. We need a bucket. I'll go get a bucket. And it's not luck. Every time it felt like he wanted to go one-on-one with somebody, he absolutely worked them. And it was a pleasure to watch out. It's like Picasso out there painting the Sistine Chapel.
And we can joke, DRS, about the new award and the association, the Clutch Player of the Year. But Brunson has been that. The New York Knicks as a whole have been that in the critical moments when you would expect the reigning NBA champs in the Eastern Conference favorites in the Celtics to be just that, and they have faltered in those crucial moments. The New York Knicks now have a 3-1 series lead, and you feel awful for Jason Tatum because he was that guy on the other side for the Celtics. 42 points last night. Basically, the only thing going right for the Seas was Tatum's performance. So that significant non-contact lower leg injury with 2 minutes and 58 seconds remaining changes the entire tenor of the rest of this series. Because DRS, if the Knicks had taken a 3-1 series lead, but Tatum was healthy, we'd still have some questions about the New York Knicks closing this thing out. Right now, though, with the injury to Tatum, we'll await his official status. We do not expect him to play again in this postseason. The New York Knicks are one win away from the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 2.5 decades, and now a minus 620 outright favorite to win this second round series. It was the Celtics, despite trailing by a game in this set, entering game four as a minus 295 favorite last night.
It's shocking. It really is. Like the Boston Celtics being down 3-1 and now without their best player, the uphill climb is going to be steep. They have to win one of those next three games. We're talking about the Knicks, and one of those games automatically going to be at Madison Square Garden. You want to turn the lights out on the Boston Celtics as soon as you can, because you know in game number five, they will be reeling at home and just saying, oh, I wonder what's going to happen here. Don't give them life. Take a lead in the first half and try to close them out in the second. But I'm impressed by the Knicks, man. Healthy teams move on. And as I said before, you do need breaks in order to win a championship at times here. It's going to be hard to beat the Boston Celtics entering into the series, but if you win the advantages on the court and off the court, like injuries, that goes into it here. Can you imagine the New York Knicks with a gentleman sweep over the Boston Celtics after the regular season that the Knicks had against the upper echelon teams? This has been such an exciting and awesome round number two in the NBA, because on a night-to-night basis, Ben, we have no idea what we're about to watch.
The Celtics still a 4.5-point favorite for game number five tomorrow. That's interesting. A ton of public betting love on the New York Knicks. You saw it right there in the graphic. The Knicks to win this series, the most likely outcome is back at Madison Square Garden in six games. And Donnie, still to your point, the Knicks in the regular season were 4-13 outright as a dog. Now in the playoffs, 5-1 straight up. To San Francisco we go next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you back to the Early Line live right here on this Tuesday morning on Sports Grid. A doubleheader and a wild night of NBA playoff action. We have given you the full recap breakdown of where this second round set between the New York Knicks, who hold a 3-1 series lead over the reigning champs, the Boston Celtics, stands at this moment. Of course, Jason Tatum undergoing an MRI, which is planned for this Tuesday at some point. We don't know the official designation of his injury status. Of course, it does not look overly optimistic. He returns at any point of this postseason or perhaps next season, depending on the severity and the significance of that injury. But the New York Knicks are now the favorites to win the Eastern Conference at a plus 115 price. Plenty more reaction on where the injury to Tatum in this stunning result in the second round leaves the rest of the association in just a little bit. Our doubleheader last night, DRS, the nightcap in San Francisco. Still no Steph Curry for the Golden State Warriors. And that's really been the issue for the Dubs. They're making things competitive. They are trying to stay in games against the Timberwolves as long as possible. But in those critical moments, late in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter, the Warriors just don't have enough in the tank without Steph out there, as we saw represented once again in game number four last night. The Warriors led by a point after the first quarter. Golden State ahead by a bucket at the break, but Minnesota took a lead with fewer than 8 minutes remaining in the third quarter and never relinquished it, even opening up a 20-point advantage, DRS, in that third quarter as well. The Timberwolves win by 7, 117-110. Minnesota covers as a 5-point road favorite in SF. A limited total of 200 and a hook. Sky's over. First time in this series, both teams have scored 100 in the same game. And now Minnesota holds a 3-1 series lead over the Warriors.
Yeah, I thought the game probably would stay under the total. And if you would have told me before the game Jimmy Butler had 14 points, I'd say the Golden State even get 85 points in that one. But they did have some other players step up, but it's just not enough at this point. And from an NBA perspective, like, these games are typically buried late night because of a West Coast team plays in it as the Golden State Warriors. It's really a forgotten series, and that's a shame. Like, if Steph Curry played in this series, it would be entertaining. Maybe 3-1 Golden State, maybe 2-2 at this point. We don't know. But it's just apparent watching Golden State. What do you want them to do without their franchise player? They're hanging tough. They just don't have the ability to close out and win games. Like, hey, let me look to my best player, like Jalen Brunson on the New York Knicks, to bail me out time and time again with a one-on-one play or a deep three-point shot. It's not coming there. I liked what I saw out of Jimmy Butler in the last game. But this game that they just played last night, not good enough. Like, Jimmy, 5 of 9 from the floor. Not good enough, man. I need 25 shots out of you. Jonathan Kuminga tried his best, shot 13 times from the field, but did get to the free throw line a lot for 12 shot attempts and making 11 of those for 23 points. That's fine. But I need Jimmy Butler to be Jimmy Butler in the playoffs, which, again, means shooting 25-plus times and saying, if we lose, it's because it's going to go down with my shot or not my shot, and we'll live with that. Close game. You don't get moral support here in the playoffs because the moral victories don't come with a loss. You're going home if you have a lot of moral victories. Yeah. And the Timberwolves, just a better team with their superstar. They're handling their business.
Yep, the final result, DRS, only a 7-point margin in favor of the T-Wolves. Not truly indicative of how that lopsided game played out in the third and fourth quarter. It was the Warriors' reserve with Minnesota up 12, 15 points in the final three and a half minutes, hitting some threes like Guy Francis at the end, burying some triples to make, or Guy Santos, excuse me, burying some triples to make things look a little bit closer. Most of the starting lineup for Golden State, a very, very negative plus-minus, including Jimmy Butler at minus 30. And you're right, DRS. You need monumental performances from Jimmy Butler, from Buddy Hield, from Draymond Green to be more stellar on the offensive side of the floor than he has been through games 2 through 4 in this series. There's just not enough offensive firepower without Steph Curry. On the other side, Minnesota hasn't looked overly sensational in this series. They haven't blown out Golden State and really held on to those commanding leads, but Anthony Edwards and Julius Randle have been sensational. 30 points for Ant, 6 made triples last night, 31 for Randle, following up a 20-plus point triple-double in game number 3 on Saturday night in San Francisco. And I think you summed it up well, DRS. Whether it's looked overly impressive, dominant, or not, in the face of not having to play against Steph Curry leading Golden State, the Timberwolves have done exactly what they needed to do to take care of business. They cover last night as a 5-point road favorite. They hold a 3-1 series lead. They fly back to Minneapolis tomorrow. We'll await the status of Steph Curry. I would not be overly optimistic. He returns for Golden State. So Minnesota, as an 11.5-point favorite tomorrow night in Game 5, a great opportunity to clinch this second-round set in a gentleman's sweep.
Yeah, and they'll probably do that, and rightfully so. And also understand this. This wasn't as if it's a 4-0 series sweep. Like, you had some really close games here, and the Golden State Warriors did win a game in Minnesota, which then Minnesota, it's hard. Look, it's hard to win on the road at any time in the season, let alone in the playoffs where everything is ratcheted up. So you have to give a lot of credit to the Timberwolves, superstar or not, for Golden State. Just handle your business, because it'd be very easy to say, their superstar is out. No big deal here. And we'll find out how that plays out in the Boston Celtics series. But the Celtics, even without their franchise guy, still going to be a favorite against the New York Knicks at home. That's not the case for the Golden State Warriors. And again, 33-20 in that fourth quarter to get it closer for that final score. The game really wasn't that close. They're just not as good, and that's a shame, because we're getting robbed of a series where Steph Curry might have one of those crazy nights where he's 7 of 11 from three-point range, 43 points, leading his team to victory, chewing on that mouthpiece, and we don't get that here. And he's not probably going to come back for Game 5, and rightfully so. If you think you're going to win this series, you got to tell your team, you got to steal Game 5. Then we'll think about game number 6 if he can come back, and still probably not coming back at that time. So just a tough pill to swallow for the Golden State Warriors, where you don't have Steph. You're being competitive. That's all you can ask for.
If Steph was ruled out definitively, DRS, through game 4, what is a quick turnaround flying to the Twin Cities going to help him out with in game 5? Different story for game 6. 3 full days off until Sunday. If the Warriors can extend this series, stave off elimination, and head back to San Francisco, seems unlikely. Minnesota, an 11.5-point favorite entering game 5 tomorrow night. A minus 4,500 favorite now to win this series outright, even entering game for minus 900, the series price outright in favor of the T-Wolves. They were the strongest favorite of any of our four second-round series. You've kind of missed your best numbers. For the T-Wolves to win this in a gentleman sweep entering yesterday was minus 128. Because the Timberwolves are now an 11.5-point favorite tomorrow night back in Minneapolis, that's a minus 670 price on the money line, minus 620 right there. So let's examine the Western Conference odds, DRS, because the Oklahoma City Thunder trending toward a $2 favorite at minus 195. Maybe you're not going to get that best test out of that other series. The T-Wolves will be rested and refreshed for the Western Conference Finals. Minnesota hoping to get there and trending to get there for a second consecutive year. But that price on Oklahoma City would allow you to believe that OKC is already either on to the Western Conference Finals or holds a 3-1 lead against Denver. We're tied at 2-2, and the Nuggets had that 2-1 series lead entering game four.
Exactly, and also you're now in the series where both teams on equal rest. We're coming into the series. The Denver Nuggets in their first round series had to play much harder, much longer than you did for the OKC Thunder. So now you're in the evil footing. Who's to say that Denver can't go in and steal a game and sort of shift that focus back? But we do agree that the Thunder should be favorites. And the reason why the Timberwolves are plus 240, not because they're a great basketball team, but they're playing an injured team and the Golden State Warriors are going to dispatch of them quickly. Those numbers will shift once these series do end, and then we see what happens in the Western Conference Finals. But for my money, there still is a little bit of a buy point there on the Denver Nuggets, knowing again that they have one of the best players in the NBA and they can steal a game that's been ultra competitive all the way through between them and the Thunder.
No doubt, DRS. I do think there is a buy-in spot on Denver. The Nuggets have shown that in every game they are going to be there, except of course for game number two. The monumental shift with the Boston Celtics now trailing 3-1 in the injury to Jason Tatum in those NBA championship odds, because for the first time this year, we have an odds-on favorite to win the NBA title. It's not the reigning champs. It's the Oklahoma City Thunder at minus 105. The Knicks, now that second-best price. You can look at Indiana, also a commanding 3-1 series lead with the chance to win it tonight in Cleveland at plus 950. What a night in the NBA, including the draft lottery. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to five pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
So we have reacted to everything we have seen in this opening hour in our doubleheader of Game 4 action in the NBA postseason. But that's not how the night around the association got started. The NBA draft lottery in Chicago. We presented the chances and the likelihoods for the teams that finished with terrible records in the 2024-25 regular season and their outlook in the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes to land that first overall pick in the generational superstar out of Duke. What we did not expect is to show you this at the very start of the draft order. Who's selecting number one? The Dallas Mavericks with a 1.8% chance from the betting odds, 39-1 plus 3,900. The Dallas Mavericks somehow, some way, wink, wink, earned that first overall pick in the 2025 NBA draft in late June. And Cooper Flagg, you are a Dallas Maverick.
Yeah, the Mavericks, man, all of a sudden looking up on the timeline when they were so down, and all those fans that were asked to come back and take a discount from season tickets for the next season, I bet they're scrambling to find those emails to reply back. Oh, never got this email. Sorry about that. Sure, I'll take 50% off my season tickets next year and re-up after I told you to blankety blank in the previous email. Hope that didn't find the sender going through at that point. But understand this. If we could put those odds back up there again, or at least the draft order themselves, here's what I keep – look. The Mavericks, 39-43, make that team better. It's better for the NBA. Look at the Spurs, have one of the most exciting, young, talented teams right now. Give them a great draft pick. That's better for the NBA. The Sixers in a major market with Joel Embiid and Paul George and Tyrese Maxey, now going to get a really good player. Make them better. The Hornets are a complete waste of time throughout NBA history. The Jazz, outside of the Stockton years, which anybody right now watching the show probably barely remembers, they are a complete waste of time. Don't help them out. Then you take a look at the Wizards, the most irrelevant franchise in the history of professional sports in the United States. Glad they didn't get it. And then the Pelicans, also an utter complete waste of time in NBA landscape. So the top three teams, which people will be excited to watch next year, got better, which is what the NBA needed. The waste of space teams didn't get help, which again is exactly what the NBA needed.
And so Donnie is more the conspiracy theorist between the two hosts here on the early line. I often balk at the idea that anything could be hashtag rigged or manufactured by the NBA, by its commissioner, Adam Silver, or the league office. But I actually do believe in fans having to question what exactly we saw. Part of that is because of how the draft lottery plays out. We talked about it yesterday. Honesty and transparency, often a fantastic thing. So the NHL draft lottery, they do the selecting of the ping pong balls, trying to bounce in the favor of a franchise live on air. Not only do I think that's fantastic and exciting television, it also goes to show that, hey, things can be quirky and weird, but there is honesty. It's not just a couple of sparse media members and executives in a back room somewhere in Chicago. It is right in front of the public's eyes. So it does not allow us to question what is happening. Conspiracy or not, DRS, I think it is very fair to point at the updated draft lottery system and say, what are we doing here? Because to Donnie's point, it rewards teams that might be a franchise player away from winning an NBA championship. It rewards executives who make the dumbest trade in NBA history and then get to celebrate just about 2.5 months later. It does not reward franchises that are starved for success. That you can watch a Utah Jazz team put out a cast of who's who and win 17 games and should have a generational superstar in reward for it to only draft fifth? What is that? DRS, I think for the fourth consecutive year, or maybe fifth consecutive year now, the team with the worst record in the regular season in the NBA will be drafting fifth overall. Not even first, second, third, or fourth. Fifth overall. Look at the records for the Hornets, the Jazz, and the Wizards, and they're not even top three.
Yeah, good. Go out, spend some money, get some actual talent. Hire general managers, not just say, hey, we got Michael Jordan as our owner. Yeah, good luck with that. How'd that work out for the past 20 years? Like, actually add some real basketball talent to your roster and real talent evaluators, and maybe you're not bitching about sitting there saying, we didn't get the top pick. How about you win some more basketball games by drafting good basketball players, by going out on the free agent market and getting better players in that respect? It's not a surprise. Like, look at the teams that we get upset about that missed out, right? They are historically horrendous, meaningless franchises. Who cares about them?
Right, but if we were ever trying to change the fact that they're historically irrelevant and horrible, you give them a generational talent, and maybe they become a part of the NBA conversation for their fan bases trying to buy in. Three consecutive years, the teams with the worst record in the NBA in the regular season drafts fifth overall. This year, it's the Utah Jazz. Since the NBA draft lottery updated, the teams that finished with the three worst records all an equal shot at 14%. Since 2019, never have any of those three teams draft, or the teams with the worst record in that model, drafted first overall. It is insane. I would just also argue, DRS, just to play devil's advocate to what you are presenting, the Philadelphia 76ers had a disastrous year where the front office spent on a terrible deal for Paul George, who is the only healthy guy in large part, and he was awful. Joel Embiid gets injured. He's never a part of the conversation. And they get rewarded. Despite trying to spend and be good, they didn't get the benefit of making those deals. The Dallas Mavericks made arguably the worst trade in NBA history, and Nico Harrison now gets to celebrate. That's where it gets crazy. Not for the fan bases. They deserve it. And Dallas's fan base certainly deserves Cooper Flagg. But I think it's just crazy that these teams are rewarded for making awful deals, missing out on sky-high expectations, and for the Mavericks, finishing a win or two away from making the playoffs. And now they draft first overall.
No, but they're also bigger market teams with superstar players. Like, if you throw Cooper Flagg to Utah, it's like, that's never going to work. In 5 years, he'll be looking for a way out to try to get to Miami at this point. At least reward the teams that you figure next year can actually get a leap up and provide instant access to television and fun ratings here. Nobody wants to see Cooper Flagg wallow in Utah. Thank good he's not going to do that.
It'd kind of be fun to see him out there in Salt Lake. Would be an immediate fan favorite. MLB headlines from yesterday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Some MLB headlines from a Monday around the sport. 11 games on the diamond on the Monday slate in Major League Baseball. As we round out this opening hour here on a Tuesday morning on the early line on Sports Grid. Hottest team in the bigs. It's the St. Louis Cardinals. Make it 9 consecutive wins for the Redbirds as they head to the bank yesterday in Philadelphia. And as a pretty hefty underdog win outright 3-2 over the Philadelphia Phillies. 9 straight wins, DRS, for St. Louis. Again, the longest active win streak in all of the major leagues at this moment.
Yeah, Liberatore's pretty good pitcher. Came in there. We thought that game would stay under, Ben. 3-2 final. Easily stays under the 7-7.5. But understand this. The Philadelphia Phillies, obviously still a quality ball club. But when they don't hit home runs, they really struggle to score. You saw yesterday, 2 home runs for the Cardinals, which got them 3 total runs for Philadelphia Phillies. 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position. 8 left on base because they just couldn't hit the home runs here. Granted, it's a long season. You're going to lose those games and the Cardinals are hot. But the Philadelphia Phillies probably kicking themselves just a little bit. You got to score more runs because Christopher Sanchez gave you another quality start. 6 innings pitched, 2 earned runs, 8 strikeouts here. That's good enough to win, but it wasn't good enough for the offense to carry over and get Christopher Sanchez that win.
The young shortstop for St. Louis, Mason Wynn, the solo shot in the top of the 7th. That was the difference. Paul Skeens, day number 32 in the history of Major League Baseball yesterday, facing off against the New York Mets for the Pittsburgh Pirates on the road inside Citi Field. Pretty solid outing out of Skeens, DRS. 6 innings of work, only allowing 6 base knocks and just 1 earned run. But ultimately, it was the New York Mets walking it off. Pete Alonso, RBI, sac fly in the home half of the 9th. That was the difference. Scoring Francisco Lindor, the Amazons win once again 4-3. Donnie, you have said it all along. If the Buccos can't score, and they simply cannot, they're not going to win many games. 18th consecutive game for Pittsburgh, scoring 5 runs or fewer. And they are 5-13 in this 18-game stretch. The New York Mets just needed one more. They got to 4, a victory for the Amazons in the series opener against the Pirates yesterday.
You know what's crazy about it, too? Like, you think, like long-term for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Like, O'Neill Cruz didn't even play yesterday. They scored 3 runs, blew a lead late. It's what happens. You know, Skeens had a decent start. But when you start taking, like, the overall look at, like, the franchise, because it's like a running back in the NFL for a really good pitcher. You only have so many bullets in that arm that you can use. Like, Skeens is going to throw close to 200 innings last year, 200 innings again this year, and you get absolutely nothing for it, Ben. Like, there's no chance that the Pittsburgh Pirates, to me right now, over the next 5 years, will be a quality enough baseball club that you have expectations where they can win a World Series or go deep into the playoffs. So what is the prospect of a guy like Skeens? Because the hitter is different. Like, hey, see what you can do with the plate, put up big numbers. But for Paul Skeens to go out every 5th day on a team that has absolutely no shot to do anything, it almost defeats the purpose. Like, yes, he's a great pitcher and you're going to want to watch, but you're supposed to get the fruits of your labor on that and understand this. Sooner than later, power pitchers do break down. So to use him up in 5 years and trade him, like, ah, that was fun, didn't make the playoffs, got crushed every single season, but thanks, Paul Skeens, for helping us out a little bit. It's a wild turn that you're going to have to talk about over the next couple of years, but yesterday, an indictment again. Good start by Skeens. Another loss for the Pirates. What's the point?
Yeah, no, completely agree, DRS. And when you look overall at the Pittsburgh Pirates and their record this year, despite winning their weekend series, taking 2 of 3 from Atlanta, they are 14-28. If not for the Colorado Rockies and their 7-34 record, the Pirates would have the worst mark in all of the National League. A lot of booing yesterday at Comerica Park in Detroit as the Tigers were giving Alex Bregman a lot of hate. He chose to sign with the Red Sox over the Tigers, and then Detroit went out there and smashed Boston. 14-2. 18 hits recorded by the Tigers in the Motor City as well. Donnie, you thought we might see some runs yesterday. Well, we certainly did. 16 combined, 14 from Detroit.
And by the way, Job was my worst pitcher on the card yesterday, and he was sensational. Pretty 5 2/3 innings pitched here. One, we're giving up run, 7 strikeouts, but they give up 5 walks yesterday, which is why his xFIP is typically high. They just couldn't cash in, and Detroit was cashing in all over the place. And by the way, I like 3 RBI props yesterday. Carpenter to get 1. He ends up with 3 runs scored and 2 hits, no RBI. Also like Cole Keith, who only had 1 plate appearance. I don't know if he left injured, but Riley Green did get the 2 RBI yesterday, but a 14 spot for Detroit. The only shocker to me was that it went over, but the Red Sox didn't even help it get over technically.
Not at all. The Yanks, a big win yesterday in Seattle, 11-5 over the Mariners, but a scary moment in the Pacific Northwest. Third baseman for New York as Waldo Cabrera suffers a gruesome leg injury, had to be taken out of the field in an ambulance. Tough moment there for the Yankees, man manning that hot corner. 11 runs, though, for New York, and they do get a victory. That does it for hour number one. Hour number two up next, with some NFL schedule releases to bring you here on the Early Line.